You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
And floorboards to shingles. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Give us a call right now with your home improvement question, your do-it-yourself dilemma. The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT. Here we stand on the cutting edge of home improvement, trying to get those jobs done without cutting ourselves or having other serious home improvement injuries that could force a trip to the ER. That wouldn't be good. We're here to help you be a do-it-yourselfer successfully and not a do-it-to-yourselfer. So pick up the phone and give us a call right now with your home improvement question. We want to hear what you're doing in your money pit. What are you fixing up today? What are you planning on fixing up tomorrow? What are you thinking about doing for the fall? Give us a call. Let us help. The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT. Coming up on today's show, we've got tips on creating a patio or walkway in your yard that will really add to your curb appeal and give you a nice sharp outdoor space where you can spend some relaxing hours.
Mm-hmm. And we know that it's summertime now, but the chillier days are going to be upon us pretty soon as we get into the fall season. And maybe as the weather gets cooler, you want to still use your outdoor space. So we're going to help you get ready for that by helping you figure out which patio heater is right for you.
Plus, there are certain rooms in your house, let's face it, that are a little stinkier than others. We're talking about kitchens and bathrooms. Wouldn't it be cool if there was a paint that sucked up all the odors in that room? Well, there is. We're going to tell you about it in just a bit.
That's pretty cool. And one lucky caller that we talked to on the air this hour is going to get a set of locks from Bolt. Now, these are really awesome because what's super cool about them is that you actually program the lock so that it'll work with your car key or your house key, whatever key you've already got on you, you can use as the lock for this Bolt. So totally amazing. We're giving away a gift certificate worth nearly $70, which is enough for a padlock and a trailer hitch lock or any combination that you'd like to spend that $70 on.
So give us a call right now. The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT, 888-666-3974. Let's get right to those phones. Leslie, who's first?
Greg in New Hampshire needs some help with a concrete slab. What can we do for you?
I live on a lake, and I have a bunkhouse that is located approximately 10 feet from the edge of the water with a retaining wall in between.
Now, why do they call it a bunkhouse? Is that where you bunk when you get in trouble with your wife?
Yeah, I put my set out there. That's right. That's always
close.
An option, I suppose. And what happens every time we get rain is the bunkhouse floor, which is a concrete slab, gets moist, gets wet. Right. And it does have a drain in the middle of it, but it never gets that wet. I never have standing water in there. And I have put, I tried to put a French drain around the perimeter. So I dug out probably about a foot down all the way around it and put crushed stone in there. But that doesn't seem to help at all.
Okay. Well, this is a monolithic slab. So in other words, the slab and the footing are all one piece.
Yes.
When you dug down along the side, did you sort of feel that you're up against concrete?
Yes.
Okay. So what you want to do here is move water away from the slab, not towards the slab. See, concrete slabs are very hydroscopic. They're very absorbent. They suck up water in a very big way. So if you on this bunkhouse building, do you have gutters on it?
No.
Okay, so that's a problem. If you're dumping a lot of water around the foundation perimeter, it's getting against the slab. It's going to be sucked into the slab and drawn throughout the entire surface because it's not that big. So what I would do is I would first put gutters on the building, and I would get the downspouts extended, you know, 4 or 5 feet away. I think you'll be amazed at what a huge difference something as simple as that will make, because you want to move the water away from the walls so you don't have as much water collecting there. When you did the drain around it, the trench around it, you probably made it worse. So you want to add soil, you want to slope it away from the outside walls, and you want to extend the downspouts so that you try to keep the water away from the foundation perimeter. Do those things, and then also paint that floor with an epoxy paint. Wait for a really good dry day. Use a two-part epoxy paint, and that will stop some of the evaporation of the water into the building. And I think those two things together will result in this being a lot drier than you've ever had it before.
Beautiful. I've got a bunkhouse I can hopefully stay in. Thank you very much for your help.
Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEY-PIT. Just made Greg's home away from home that much more comfortable.
Now we're going to talk to Amelia in Edison, New Jersey, who needs some help with an outdoor project. What are you working on?
The dark green resin chairs I have. Mm-hmm. They have become very dull, and I was wondering if there's anything I can do to bring the luster back up.
If it's a resin chair, probably not. I'll tell you what might work, Armorall, the stuff you use for your car, because you use that on vinyl all the time, and it does leave it to be somewhat shiny. But I think what you're seeing in a resin chair is you're seeing that the UV from the sun is essentially fading them, and I don't think you're going to restore the color. You could probably make them look a bit shinier, but I don't think you're going to ever restore the color.
Can you use that spray paint that's made specifically for plastic on that?
Actually, good idea. Yeah, actually, that's called Fusion. It's made by Krylon.
How do you spell it?
Fusion, F-U-S-I-O-N.
Oh,
it's made by Krylon. And
if you go to the home center, you'll see it's clearly labeled that it's for plastic, and it probably even shows a picture of the chair you're talking about on the can.
Yep. Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, so Amaral, should I try that first and then go to the Krylon if I can?
I wouldn't do one after the other, because if you put the Amaral on, it's not going to stick. But actually, Fusion's probably a better choice for this, and you can repaint them. They'll be solid color, and they'll look good. And the plate's pretty durable, too. We've used it.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Amelia. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEY-PIT. Yeah, that's a good point. Forgot about that plastic paint.
Mm-hmm. And that's good, because you can make your green chairs hot pink if you like. You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at MoneyPit.com. Now you can be part of the Money Pit, so call in your home repair, your home improvement question 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-888-MONEY-PIT. We'd love to hear from you.
888-666-3974. Up next, a patio heater will help extend your use of that space for many weeks this fall. We're going to have some options on how you can do just that after this. 888-MONEY-PIT.
This portion of the Money Pit is brought to you by Behr Premium Exterior Weatherproofing Wood Stains and Finishes with an advanced 100% acrylic resin to protect decks, siding, and fences from sun, rain, snow, and ice. The line offers long-lasting beauty and excellent durability. For more information, visit Behr.com. That's Behr.com. Behr products are available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Give us a call right now at 1-888-MONEY-PIT. If you do, you might just win a set of locks from Bolt. Now, what makes these locks great is that you don't have to carry an extra key. Bolt locks have a patented automotive-style cylinder that allows you to insert your car or truck key, turn once, and program the lock to that key. So now you can use your car key to lock your toolbox, lock your trailer hitch, lock your storage shed, lock anything, lock your kids' doors, I don't know, anything. It seems like a pretty cool prize. We're going to give it away. It's 1-888-MONEY-PIT is a telephone number. The product is worth $70. If you give us a call, we'll toss your name in the Money Pit hard hat and might just be sending that set of locks to you.
Mm-hmm. Give us a call. We'd love to hear what you're working on. Well, we know it's the summertime and everybody is in their backyards or their patios enjoying the warm weather and really sitting in your outdoor room thinking, wow, I'd love to sit here all year round. Well, as the weather does start to get cooler, which face it, we know it's going to do, you know, patio heaters are really a great way to extend the use of that space throughout the year or as much of that cold weather you can tolerate. Now, when it comes to patio heaters, they come in a ton of different forms and they use different types of energy sources to fuel them. So there are a lot of different options out there. Now, when you're looking, there are some that are freestanding. There's some that are mounted to your tabletop. And then there are even those commercial patio heaters that you might see at a restaurant. And you can even choose from some of those. And you can find ones that use propane, electric, or even natural gas burning heaters. So you got to sort of weigh all these options when you do go shopping for the patio heater. Now, most homeowners traditionally choose that tabletop patio heater. And there are advantages to those because they're lighter, they're smaller, they're sort of portable, you can carry them around. Whatever you choose, they're all great.
Yeah, now the freestanding type are the really big ones. They're about 95 inches tall. I mean, practically 8 feet tall. And they're similar to the ones used by restaurants, but they're also more powerful and they can heat a pretty decent sized area. Now, if you choose a stationary heater, you can hook it up to your natural gas line. And this way you won't have tanks that need to be replaced or refilled. And if you plan on moving the heater to different locations, though, you will need a portable propane model. Whichever one you choose, a patio heater can definitely help you enjoy the outdoor living areas well into the fall months. I've actually got two. I've got the big stand-up heater that is portable. Then I've got a small tabletop one that actually runs off a small, I guess it's maybe a 16-ounce can of propane, which is great because we sometimes put that on our front porch when it gets a little chilly and we can sit out there and enjoy the neighborhood and catch a little heat at the same time.
It's just so nice. It really, they really do work fantastically well. So you could be sitting in the middle of the most freezing evening and just feel truly comfortable.
888-666-3974. Give us a call right now with your home improvement question. If there is a project you're not comfortable with, we are here to help you get it done.
Franklin in Georgia needs help with a roofing project. What's going on at your money pit?
Yeah, I have a roof. I have a cupola on the roof of my garage.
Okay.
And it's rotting away. I won't know if anyone makes one of these things out of fiberglass or something like that.
Yeah, actually, Franklin, there absolutely is a solution here. There are fiberglass cupolas out there.
What size is your cupola, Franklin?
It's about 18 inches square, I think.
Oh, so it's less than 2 feet. That shouldn't be too expensive. I think you can get those for probably about $300 or $400.
Yeah, not bad. There's a company actually out of North Carolina, I think, which is a neighbor to you, and they're called Piedmont Cupola, and they have a 2 foot square unit that's great for garages or storage sheds, and they're about $350, and they're totally fiberglass. And then if you go and put a little weather vane on top, it's really cute.
Well, that's what mine had, and I had to take that down. Because it was rotting so bad, I had to take that down and just cover it with like a 2 foot piece of aluminum square.
Yeah.
I just put that over the louvered part.
Well, maybe now you can get the fiberglass cupola and put the weather vane back in there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
Colleen in New Jersey needs some help with the staining project. What can we do for you today?
I needed to stain two pocket doors
to match
the rest of the pocket doors and the framework in the house. And I went to the local, center and home goods, whatever, and they helped me with the stain, and they told me to apply the stain with a rag, and then after it dried, take a steel wool and rub the door down, and then I guess then I'd have to wipe it back down and then apply the stain again. But I don't know what the steel wool is for.
Well, are you gonna put after the stain, are you gonna put a coat of polyurethane on or something like that?
Well, actually, I'm probably gonna have to do three coats of stain to match the rest of the doors.
To get the color you want.
All right. Well, let me give you a step by step idea here of how to do a staining project like this, Colleen. And these are new doors.
Yes.
Okay, so the first thing that you want to do, and this is a little trick of the trade that I learned years ago, I wipe the door down with a damp cloth. And the reason I do that is because the grain will now swell a little bit. And even if it was sanded once you wipe it with a damp cloth, you'll find that the grain swelled and got a little rough. Then sand it again with a very fine sandpaper. We're talking about about a 400 grit sandpaper.
Wow, that's super fine.
Really fine. Yeah, because it's just the grain that's just swelling. It's just like sort of the tips of the grain that's up there. So sand it down. Then you can apply the stain. I generally don't sand in between stain coats, but I will at the very last, the last step before I polyurethane. Again, I'll do a very quick, very fine staining.
Same 400 grit?
Yeah, the same 400. Anywhere between 220 and 400. And then I'll do urethane, and in between the coats of urethane, I'll sand. The reason you're sanding is because the grain swells and it gets rough, and you're trying to take it down. But I would not use steel wool in between steps on staining, because what happens then is the steel wool ends up breaking apart and gets stuck on the door, and it's really hard to get out. So I would use a very fine grit sandpaper somewhere between 220 and 400.
Ken, you've got the money pit. How can we help you today?
Well, it's like this. My folks are in their 80s, and their house was built probably in the 50s.
Okay.
Somewhere around about the end of the Korean War.
Okay.
And they have wet wall. I could see, it's brittle. It's not drywall. It's definitely wet wall.
Okay.
And I have to install a grab handle in the bathtub.
Okay.
Oh, gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just not positive about the construction behind the wet wall. Can I find studs with a stud finder? And are they 16 inch on center?
What about those Moen brackets, Tom?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a number of different types of brackets that are designed to adhere to a hollow wall. So you don't necessarily have to find the stud. There are brackets that can go, and it's sort of like a high-tech toggle bolt, so to speak. But there are brackets that can support, believe it or not, 500 pounds in a hollow drywall wall. And certainly if you have a wet plaster wall, they could do it as well.
I would buy the whole thing together, just because this way you know you've got the right brackets for the right grab bar. And, you know, maybe your parents want something that's a little bit more decorative. Tom and I have seen these in person. We've installed one when we did a home safety makeover for the AARP. The Moen, you know them, great manufacturer of bathroom products. If you go to their website, Moen.com, and under products, you'll find bathroom safety. I mean, there is a plethora of grab bars that are available that look beautiful, that come in a variety of finishes, that look almost like a towel bar, but they're made to hold 500 pounds because of the special bracket that they sell with it. So I would kind of go that route rather than trying to sort of retrofit and, you know, a more sterile looking grab bar.
Well, thanks you very much.
You're welcome, Ken. I'm sure your parents will appreciate that. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Donna in Rhode Island has a roofing question. What's going on there?
My husband and I had put an addition on our home, and we have a brand new roof. It's only about 2.5-3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then there's the existing side of the house where we've got a farmer's porch where there's been a considerable amount of mildew and mold buildup.
Mm-hmm. So you've got a new roof and an old roof, and they don't look the same.
Right. Well, and they both have varying degrees of mold and mildew, and we removed it once with Simple Green and lightly used a power washer, but my husband was explaining if we continue to use a power washer, he's afraid we'll damage the architectural shingles.
Well, you could, because you are driving some of the granules off, but if you're very careful about it, and if you're just using, say, the wide gentle spray, the same one that you use, say, to wash your car, you're probably okay. But the secret here, Donna, is that you want to apply the mildicide, and you want to let it sit. So I would use a product like Jomax, for example, that you put on the roof, let it sit for a little while, and then rinse it off, because sometimes if you just try to blast off that mildew, that moss growth, that's not really getting to sort of the root of the matter. You want to put the mildicide on. It's bleach-based. Let it really do its job, and then rinse it off. Don't blast it off. Just rinse it off, and then you're more likely to have a situation where it's going to stay clean for a while. Now, a couple other things that you can do. First of all, is this a very shady side of the house? Because typically that's what causes a lot of moss growth.
And yes, and that is what's happening. It's a you know, developed neighborhood, beautiful trees, but we have a couple of very large trees.
Okay, so if you can thin out the tree a little bit so that you let a little more light in, you don't have to get rid of it, just thin it out. That will make a difference. The other thing that you could do is you could take a strip of copper or nickel flashing material, the metal, and put it up near the top of the roof. And what will happen is as the rain strikes that and washes over the copper or the nickel, it will release some metal, which acts as a mildicide and actually cleans the roof every time it rains.
Oh, wow. That's a great idea. Well, thank you very much.
There you go, Donna. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
John in New Jersey, you've got the Money Pit. What can we do for you today?
Yes. I was looking to purchase a new home, and their heating was propane gas, and I asked them if I'd rather go with some heat pumps because I think that the propane gas would be very expensive in the long run, and I would like your opinions on economically and the advantages of a heat pump.
The problem with the heat pump is that in this area, it's real expensive to run, and very often it has to run on its electric backup zone. See, the way a traditional heat pump works is it maintains the temperature differentiation between what you set the thermostat out and about 2 degrees. So if you set it at 70 and it falls to 68 in the house, the heat pump runs. If it falls to 67 or below, then the electric resistance backup heat comes on, and that's real expensive to run. So if I had a choice of an electric heat pump or propane, I probably would use a high-efficiency propane system. If a ground-source heat pump was available, then I might go with a heat pump because that's going to be more efficient in the long run.
You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at MoneyPit.com. Well, have you ever noticed that your neighbor's house has its own sort of special scent, shall we say?
Odor?
Well, exactly. You know, it's the fragrance of the home. Well, odors, and especially the bad ones, you guys, they can stick around for a really long time. But we've got an idea that's going to help get rid of those funky smells. That's coming up after this. 888 Money.
Where home solutions live, welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at MoneyPit.com. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And one of the most pervasive problems for homeowners these days is odor. Just look at the hundreds of new air freshening products on the market in recent years. While air fresheners, however, often mask the problem, there is now a paint that goes one step further by actually eliminating them. Here to tell us more is Mary Ward from Dutch Boy. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm terrific. Now, you have this refresh line that's been out now for, I guess, about a year or so, and it's really taken the market by storm. What a wonderful idea. Talk about how refresh actually eliminates odors.
Well, refresh is first and foremost a premium quality paint with zero VOCs. But it also has cages built into the paint film that absorb odors through natural airflow. So as you're painting, you have a nice experience and no odor while you're painting. But then after you're done painting and for a period of time afterwards, for as long as up to over a year, the paint will continually absorb odors into the paint film, and no amount of scrubbing will ever remove that odor from the paint film.
So it'll actually work essentially for an entire year.
It could actually work longer than that.
Okay.
Odor is hard to put a year on it. It depends on how much room you paint, you know, how many walls you paint.
Admit it, Mary, it depends on how stinky your house is, right?
It also depends on how well you can smell. Everybody's sense of odor is different. So we can't put a year warranty on how long it will eliminate odors.
Right.
But we've had a lot of great feedback and testing results, and people have been very happy with it when they have had problems with odor in their homes.
Now, with the Arm & Hammer technology, I mean, I think when we think of Arm & Hammer, we think of it as absorbing odors. Is this essentially absorbing it, or is it simply converting it into something that you can't smell anymore?
It's absorbing it.
Okay. So does it get essentially filled up in the same way?
Exactly. So the cages in your walls and your ceiling, whatever walls you paint, eventually get filled up. So they will no longer eliminate odor. And what you have is excellent, very scrubbable paint film that's got a lifetime warranty on it. And you'll be happy with the paint film after that.
We're talking to Mary Ward. She's a senior product manager for Dutch Boy Paints about the new Refresh line of paint with the odor eliminating technology inside of it from Arm & Hammer. And Mary, I understand this is now available in a semi-gloss finish, and I can't think of two rooms in the house better suited for that than the kitchen and the bathroom, because those can be pretty stinky, and that's where you typically use a semi-gloss finish.
Correct. And 36% of our market still buys a semi-gloss. And it took us a little bit longer to get to the technology to have shiny paint that absorbs odor and has great application properties, be zero VOC. But we did it, and we launched it this year. We're very excited about it. But you can use satin and semi-gloss in the kitchens and bathrooms, doors and trims and cabinets. It's a preference.
And you mentioned zero VOC. The product is also Green Guard certified and mildew resistant on top of that. So it sounds like a great combination of features that you've built into Refresh.
We did. We really wanted to make sure that it was first and foremost, a premium quality product that met the needs of our consumers and be zero VOC. And Green Guard is an industry independent nonprofit organization that certifies, you know, tests the product and certifies you. So we're excited to have that certification, but You have to try the paint in itself. It goes on really nicely, has great application properties. A lot of zero VOC products have a lot of roller drag. Your arm wants to fall off by the end of the painting project, and this doesn't. It's very smooth and creamy, and it should give everybody a nice painting experience and then a great durable coating after they're done.
The product is called Refresh by Dutch Boy. Mary Ward, Senior Product Manager for Dutch Boy Paints, thanks so much for stopping by the Money Pit.
Thank you.
Well, all right, up next, you know, if you don't already have a patio or a space in your backyard that you can truly define as your outdoor area, maybe you're a little hesitant to jump into creating a patio because you think concrete is not a do-it-yourself project. Well, we're going to break that myth when we come back.
You live in a money pit.
The Money Pit is brought to you by Generac and the Generac Automatic Standby Generator. Be protected and never worry about power outages again. Visit your favorite home improvement center or call 888-GENERAC or visit Generac.com. Your home will stay on the next time the power goes out. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti. And you should give us a call right now at 1-888-MONEYPIT because each hour we give away great answers, but we also give away a pretty great prize. And this hour we've got the Bolt Lock System. It's worth nearly $70. Now, it's really a gift certificate worth $70, so you can buy a padlock or a trailer hitch lock. But what's really special about these bolt locks is that you can program it with your house key or your car key, so you don't have to carry around an extra key or worry about losing the combination. It's all right in the palm of your hands already. It's a really exciting new product. So give us a call right now for your answer and your chance to win at 1-888-MONEYPIT.
888-666-3974. Up next, we've got some concrete ideas for solid projects. You like that?
That's good.
All right. I thought of that. I wrote that myself.
You're like, I'm going to talk about concrete, so let me see solid.
No, it's been a rough economy, so I had to fire the writers.
You're terrible.
Well, all kidding aside, if you've never poured cement, it might sound like something out of your league, but it's not that hard of a do-it-yourself project, especially if you've already got some home improvement experience under your belt. And once you've done some concrete projects around your house, you will find lots and lots of uses for that marvelous material. You might think about pouring a floor for the slab of your shed, for the floor of your shed. Maybe it's a dirt floor, but you want it to be a concrete floor. You could do that. You might want to create a walkway, a driveway, or even make a concrete step or a ramp. There are lots of things that you can do around the house with concrete, including pouring patios.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of great ideas, and if you work with a really great product, it does make the whole project itself much easier. And there's one type of concrete that both Tom and I really like to work with, and it's from Quikrete, and it's their crack-resistant concrete. And it's one of the easiest concretes to work with and even finish with. And you know what? It holds up to extremely harsh temperatures, and the fibers that are in the mix actually help reduce the shrinkage cracks that will inevitably appear in your concrete. Well, this actually works really well if you've got a heavy-duty application, and it provides for better impact resistance than your standard concrete. You can check it all out online at quikrete.com/productlines and just search their crack-resistant concrete, and you'll learn all about it there.
You know, we did a project with my local Boy Scout troop using Quikrete product. We use the red bags.
Oh, the no-mix one?
Well, it is a mixed product. It's a cement mix, a concrete mix, but you just add water. It's very easy to use. We actually poured footings for a deck that we built.
And you just mixed it. You poured it right into the post hole itself, right?
That's right. You can mix it right in the hole.
That's really great. And it does work fantastically well.
It sets in 15 minutes. You don't have to wait. You can get right back to work. So great projects. That website, again, is quikrete.com. Our website is moneypit.com. And the phone number is 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Irene calling in from Brooklyn, New York, has a roofing question. What can we do for you today?
I have my roof for 25 years, and I heard you the other day saying on the radio that 25 years is more than enough for a roof.
So yeah, okay.
I have one little leak, so I decided to change the whole thing.
Okay. Well, you know, if you're trying to decide between regular shingles and timberline shingles, the timberline shingles are just a laminated shingle. They last the same amount of time, but they look different. You know, they are designed to maybe have a little more dimension, a little more depth. They can look like cedar shingles. They can look like slate tiles. They can look like clay tiles. They're very attractive.
but there's really no difference in longevities between those and simply a single tap shingle.
That's all I needed to know because I don't see my roof. It's a high building.
Okay.
So I'll go for the cheaper one.
Okay, Irene. Glad we can help you out. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
Time to talk with Joel in Des Moines, Iowa, who's having a sort of a situation with a concrete walkway. What happened? It's sinking towards your house? Was there something structural? What's going on?
I bought a foreclosure house, and I went away for 2 years. I come back, and my sidewalk is sinking towards my house.
Okay.
And then my front yard is also losing dirt also, so I don't know where that's going to.
Hmm. Sounds
and
like
I had some people out there that they guaranteed that they could lift the concrete by, you know, pumping some stuff in there.
Right, mud jacking.
But they couldn't do anything. They said that it just goes to nowhere.
You guys, I know that Des Moines has had some pretty bad weathers over the past two winters, so I wonder if the freezing and thawing cycle, or pretty much the freezing and freezing and freezing cycle that you guys dealt with for the past 2 years, which you luckily missed out on, if that had something to do with it.
And if you say that you're getting erosion in your yard as well?
Yeah, it's eroding my front yard. It's starting to sink. I can see the dips in it.
Well, look, if your concrete walkway is sinking towards the house and you've had some experts in, they say they can't mud jack it, then there's no other options, Joel, but to tear it out and replace it.
Now, okay.
It might be that you don't want to go concrete next time. Maybe you want to go paver brick, something that can actually move a little bit more than the solid concrete can. But I would make sure I take a look to try to figure out why the erosion is happening. I'd look at the roof drainage to make sure the roof gutters are collecting the water and getting them away from the house, not contributing to that drainage. I'd make sure that we don't have any underground pipes that are broken, that we're not getting discharged from the neighbor's yard or anything like that. It might be easier for you to see because you were away for a while and you came back and noticed the differences. But if it's something that's more active, we want to make sure that we address it right away.
Now we're going to chat with Janie in Wyoming, who's got a question about flooring and heating. What can we do for you?
Yeah, we're thinking about buying a new house or building a new house, and so we're debating what kind of flooring to put in it, and we would like to put in the in-floor heating.
Okay.
But even with in-floor heating, there's using gypcrete, or there's putting the tubes right underneath the flooring, or there's suspending the tubes underneath the flooring. Which one is best?
Okay. Well, first of all, are we talking about a hot water heating system? Because that's what we'd recommend.
Yes.
Because electric heat's going to be pretty expensive out there in Wyoming. What I would think you need to do is you want to put the flooring embedded into the floor. So you want to use
a lightweight. Embedded in the floor.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want it under the flooring. I mean, that's great as an aftermarket solution if the flooring is already down. But in new construction, I would try to embed it right in the flooring. So the gypcrete solution is good. And the type of plumbing pipe you want to use for this is called PEX, P-E-X. That stands, Jamie, for cross-linked polyethylene. It's a fantastic product. It's easy to use. It's very flexible, very durable stuff, and I would be totally comfortable putting that underneath my floor and not having to worry about leaks with it.
Okay, and then what kind of flooring should go over it? We're thinking about engineered wood on part of it, carpeting with the rubber padding instead of the normal padding. Is that okay, or are we shooting
ourselves
in the foot doing that?
No, absolutely. The nice thing about this type of a flooring system is any type of surface floor is going to work, hard surface or carpeting, and those are all great choices. You know, the engineered hardwood is great stuff today. The finishes are really, really tough, and it's beautiful, and it looks just like full-thickness hardwood, but it's a lot easier and less expensive to put down. So those are all great choices, Janie. It sounds like a really exciting project.
Okay. That's what I needed. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, on air and online at moneypit.com. Up next, you know, certain building projects require a building permit. Do you get one, or do you try to get away without it? We're going to tell you the pros and the cons after this.
On the Money Pit Radio Show.
The Money Pit is brought to you by Stanley Tools, your trusted name in quality hand tools.
To learn more about their complete line of quality tools and everything for your toolbox, visit stanleytools.com.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti. Hey, while you were snooping around on the internet, because we know a lot of you go online very often, you should check out a very useful website, moneypit.com. It's really gorgeous. It's full of great home improvement advice. You can listen to previous episodes of the Money Pit, search by project, really get some great information to help you get your summer weekends very busy and filled up with home improvement to do projects. And while you are online, you can email us your question if you don't feel like calling in. And I've got one here from Jennifer in Illinois who writes, "My husband and I are getting ready to finish our basement in the fall, and we want to understand the pros and cons of pulling permits, assuming all the work we do will be up to village code. Specifically, if we don't pull permits, what might happen if we decide to sell our house down the road?" Now, that's interesting because you don't really know what's allowed in your area unless you sort of seek out what's going on in the building department. And I've been working with a client in my area doing some design work, and they had a bathroom, you know, the previous owners put it in the basement, and it wasn't allowed. And that really caused a big brouhaha during the buying process.
That's absolutely correct. It's always important to get a building permit when you're doing projects that are required to be permitted in your town, especially plumbing work and electrical work, because the inspectors are trained to make sure that those projects are done correctly. And it's absolutely essential, if you're using a contractor, that you get a permit. Now, you know, in some cases, if you become the contractor yourself, you're not required to have a license to do some of this work, but you still have to have it inspected. That's right. And it's really important that you do that, because this is a great example, Leslie, of what could happen if you don't get the permit, you try to sell your house. It's going to turn around and sneak up on you and cause a problem in the transaction when you least want to deal with that kind of hassle. So always a good idea to get that permit. This way you're doing it once, you're doing it right, you won't have to deal with it again.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's good pedigree for the house. You really understand that the project is up to code, has been approved, and you can share that when it comes time for you to sell the house, that you've done it the right way. And I bet you your buyer will be really happy about that.
Well, a fireplace is certainly not something that gets much use in the summer, but it doesn't mean that it can't look great. Leslie's got some tips on how you can do that on today's edition of Leslie's Last Word.
Yeah, you know, sometimes during the off season, a fireplace in your room can kind of look like a giant black hole, but it doesn't have to. There's actually some great ways to dress it up, and then you can incorporate it into your decor scheme. So think about replacing the logs in the log holder, you know, with a group of large pillar candles, or even a really cool or stylish candle holder. That really just looks lovely, even when it's not lit, but when they are lit, it's just such a beautiful, rich touch. So that's one way to go. You can also get, you know, a nice grouping of potted flowers or greenery. As long as you get enough sunlight coming into the space and your fireplace isn't, you know, as deep as, say, from Citizen Kane, you can actually put some beautiful plants in there and they'll do really well. Ferns do great in the shade if you don't get too much sunlight in there, and it really does add a punch of life to your room. And finally, you can consider a fireplace screen, and you can make a simple screen out of plywood and then paint it and personalize it with, you know, a collage of images, or you can stencil patterns on it, or you can even sort of group together some picture frames or make a collage of family photos. There's some great ways to be creative about your fireplace so that you're actually looking at something interesting this time of year.
Good tips. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show, where we deliver good tips 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-888-MONEYPIT and online at moneypit.com. Coming up next week on the program, have you noticed condensation on your windows? Now, that could be caused by excess humidity in your house, but it also could be a sign that it's time to replace those windows with more energy efficient ones. We're going to explain more on the next edition of The Money Pit. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself,
but you don't have to do it alone.
You live in a money pit.
When you need
need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.